Welcome to our podcast, Manage Your Money God's Way, presented by Compass Catholic Ministries. We teach what the Bible tells us are the best ways to handle money. Our ministry uses these biblical principles to show you how to save, how to invest, how to build a budget, how to work through a financial crisis, and the best one, how to get rid of all your debt so you can live a debt-free life. Learn more how we can help and about our ministry at compasscatholic.org. My name is Steve Holbrook, and leading our discussion today will be the co-founders of Compass Catholic Ministries, John and Evelyn Bean. Today, we want to discuss some of the things that individuals do. They're kind of fooling themselves about their finances, and we want to offer some suggestions, some tips, how to reverse that. Now, John and Evelyn, let's face it, none of us are perfect. We all make mistakes. Some of the mistakes are big, and some are little. Some of the mistakes have a lasting impact, and some can be ignored because their impact is so small. The trick is to understand what mistakes you're making and make fewer of the ones that really harm your long-term financial stability. In order to understand the mistakes you're making, it's important to get real about your financial situation. Now, that means looking at your finances and being totally honest about what you're doing right, even more important, what you're doing wrong, and what you're not doing at all. Now, John and Evelyn, I know you can relate to these words.
This is something that we did a really, really terrible job of 30 years ago. We didn't realize we were making mistakes, or maybe we thought about it, but we weren't honest, okay? At least I wasn't. If you don't pay attention to what you're doing and really look at it from a real-world perspective, you're just going to be doomed to living in the same mess that you're in now. So we've compiled a list of financial areas that you can think about to see if you're really being truthful with yourself.
So the first one is you convince yourself that everybody has debt and you can use credit cards to buy the things you want and pay them off later. Now, we're not saying that credit cards are bad, and we're not saying that you have to pay for everything with cash, because mortgages and student loans are a practical reality for the vast majority of Americans. But if you're digging yourself deeper and deeper into debt each month by using credit cards to finance a lifestyle you can't afford, sooner or later, you're going to find yourself in a hole that's so deep and so big that you can't climb out of it.
And this is a mistake that most people make when they don't manage their spending on a monthly basis, and they don't match their income to their spending, okay? So, you know, you're just getting totally out of whack with how much you make and how much you're spending.
You know, John, one of the things people do is they base their what they're spending on their gross income, but we in the Compass Catholic Navigating Your Finances Bible Study talk about the net spendable income.
That's correct.
And what's the net spendable income? How do you calculate that?
Well, yes, you have a gross income, and for most of us, it's pretty gross, but then they take money away from it. So they take out Social Security, and they take out Medicare, and they take out health insurance.
Federal tax, state tax.
Federal taxes, state taxes. By the time they get done, you're going to lose from that gross anywhere from typically 17 to maybe as much as 25%. Just to make the math easy, if your salary is $4,000 a month and they're going to take away 25% to cover taxes and all that other kind of stuff, then your net spendable income is only going to be $3,000. So you got to base your spending on $3,000, not on $4,000, because you don't see that extra $1,000. Does that make sense?
It makes wonderful sense. In other words, if you can't subtract your monthly expenses from your net spendable income and come up with a positive number, then you're fooling yourself. Because if those two numbers are not positive when you subtract spending from income, then you're digging a deeper hole for yourself each month.
Well, you're absolutely spending more than you're earning, and it's going to catch up with you. It'll catch up with you the first month, but it won't really have potential drastic effect for several months. If you're spending less than you make, okay, you're spending less than you make, that's going to be a successful formula for you. And it's crucial to make a realistic budget, stick to it, and make sure that it comes in below or at worst equal to your take-home pay. Then you're living within your means.
Your net spendable income.
Your net spendable income.
Okay, the next way people fool themselves is they talk about what they need. And it's really easy to say that you need something when you really just want it. Because there's a difference between needs and wants. Right, John?
Absolutely. The needs are the basics in life. Food, shelter, clothing. Okay. And I think most of us do a pretty good job of taking care of our needs.
So the difference between needs and wants is the needs are basic necessities, food, clothing, and shelter. And wants are above and beyond needs. So, John, what are some examples of wants?
Oh, I want a new cell phone. Oh, I would love to have some new clothes.
Name brand, right?
Oh, absolutely. How about a bigger house, a newer car, a Rolex watch?
Oh, yeah, like you wear a watch.
Oh, but I need one.
Yeah, you don't need one.
It'll look good.
You know, that really is a big test of how honest you are with yourself, is seeing if you acknowledge the difference between needs and wants. And most people don't do that. It's always about what I need, and not acknowledging that it's really a want.
You know, the word honesty keeps coming up. John started the program talking about being honest with yourself. And I always believe, and we stress to the people that we work with, that when you track your spending, you have to be honest with yourself. A lot of people know they're making financial mistakes, but they don't want to write it down because that number stares them back in the face.
Mm-hmm.
And we stress that over and over and over. We're not sharing this with the world. The only people seeing this are yourselves, your husband, your wife. But you've got to write down everything you spend on. You can't say, well, that was just one time and I won't do it again.
You know, that's another good point. That was only one time. Well, that'll never happen again. Yeah. Well, those exceptions come up
exactly
every day.
Every day.
If you let them.
Yeah, especially going to lunch with the guys. You think you're spending $5, but you're spending $10, $12, $15 in reality.
I don't think you can get away from a restaurant for lunch without $15 anymore.
No, but the people that you work with, you say, so how much you spend for lunch? Yeah. Oh, $5.
Yeah, I only go out once a week.
Where are you eating?
You know, we actually had somebody we were working with, and they thought it was $50 a month, and he added it up for a month, and it was $250. And that stopped right away because he had the facts and figures right there in front of him.
Yeah.
Well, and that's the important thing. You have to be honest. You have to get the facts and figures, and you got to know what's going on. Mark 8:36 tells us, what profit is there for one to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul?
Okay, the next one about fooling yourself is, once I buy whatever, I'll finally be happy. And we can fool ourselves if we think that the next thing we buy will finally make us happy.
Happiness is only a state of mind. And while you may get some temporary satisfactions out of a new possession, it's not going to bring happiness for long, because you set yourself up to be happy based on buying things, and that's going to be a never-ending cycle, because you're always going to find something newer, better, nicer, more appealing, and so you're just setting yourself up for failure. It's like, what's next? What can I get next? And so you're going to buy.
You know, the smartphone is a good example, because those that buy those on a regular basis rave about the pixels in the phone. And they're happy with it until the next one comes out next year. Then all of a sudden, but it has 1,000 more pixels.
Yes. And when you look at a picture, can you tell how many pixels it is?
I can. I am not a professional.
You don't count your pixels?
No. I think that's illegal in Florida. I'm just saying.
You got to go confession if you're doing that.
You know, you're never going to be content if you're always in pursuit of the next purchase in an effort to buy happiness, because there is no such thing as being able to buy happiness. You'll always be discontent.
Yes, and you know, Paul told us in Philippians that you have to learn to be content. And in 1 Timothy, he says, if we have food and clothing, we shall be content. That's a huge statement, okay? Because if people only have food and clothing in today's world, they're not going to be content.
Right. Food, clothing, and shelter. I think it's gotten worse with all the social media stuff because people only post the good stuff.
Right.
And the fun stuff and the new stuff. They don't post the bills that come in or the arguments between husband and wife when the bills can't be paid or the fighting that goes on behind the scenes.
And that's when you start tracking your spending, you'll see this. Mm-hmm. You know, you'll see where am I during this month? Where am I this month with my spending? Can I afford to add this?
And I think contentment, yes, it has to be learned. But I think it has to be learned continuously, not just one time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's ongoing.
Until it becomes a habit.
Yeah. I'm not sure if contentment can be a habit because our society bombards us with so much stuff that causes us to think about things. Oh, I'd like to have that. I want that. We lose that sense of contentment unless we are really within ourselves, about thinking about our possessions.
Contentment. It can be very challenging for some individuals to work their way into being content. I know for myself, it took several years of thinking with each purchase, asking myself, do I really need whatever I was buying? Can I do without it? And once you become content, it's amazing how infrequent the credit card comes out of the pocket. This is Manage Your Money God's Way. We are from Compass Catholic Ministries. John and Evelyn Bean, the co-founders of our ministry, are sharing tips, recommendations on how to avoid falling into the habit of fooling yourself into spending, making yourself more aware of your financial situation. So, Evelyn, what are some of the other things that we do to ourselves?
We say we don't make enough money to save anything. Now, you may not be able to save a whole bunch of money, and financial advisors certainly disagree over precisely how much money you may need to save for a rainy day or to provide for a comfortable retirement. But if you're not saving anything, and if you're just living paycheck to paycheck, sooner or later, you're going to run up debt.
You know, this comes back to the idea of paying yourself first. And who's the most important person in your life if it's not you? Maybe it's your spouse, okay? But it's your family. If you're spending all your money paying for stuff, why? Because your family is much more important than any amount of stuff. You know, if you don't have savings, what are you going to do when you have a financial emergency, a health issue, an accident? You don't get a bonus this year and you pay off all your debt with your bonuses, or you get laid off of work. There are any number of things that will cause issues that need to be taken care of with that extra cash, with the savings that you should be doing, with paying yourself first. Your family is most important.
You know, the other implication here of saving is those major purchases or those once a year or once a quarter payments. I know for us, our property taxes are due once a year, so we put aside a certain amount of money every month in order to cover property taxes. Or there's Christmas, that comes once a year, a vacation comes once a year. And if you're not saving a little bit for that every month, then when that does hit, it's a huge number.
Yes, absolutely.
And
absolutely.
You don't have anything there, so you whip out the credit cards.
People think that, well, I'll save for retirement later.
That's another way they're fooling themselves.
Yep, absolutely. Every single American should be saving for retirement in some way now. If your employer offers some kind of 401k matching, boy, you should be doing that because that's free money. Failure to save is just such a huge mistake. A 401k is, like I said, free money. I don't think I can say that enough. It's free money. Basically, it's a reward for you for doing something that you should be doing anyway.
And you start saving in that 401k when?
The first day. You qualify.
Yeah.
But we would highly encourage anybody to try to take it up to whatever your employer match.
Yeah.
Because if you're doing 6% of your salary and your employer's matching 6% of your salary, you're doubling your money just by not doing anything.
No, we've had people tell us they don't contribute to the 401k because they don't want to put all that money into it. I said, well, you can start gradually. And then as your income goes up, so does the your contribution.
What did they are they worried about having that much money in one venue?
No, it's a mindset that they felt that they had to put in some percentage. You just have to start small and work your way up.
The key is to work your way up. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes if you start small, it's real easy to talk yourself into that's all I can do. And that's another way of fooling yourself. You can usually do a little bit more than you think you can.
Well, the other cool thing about that type of a savings program, a 401k, is that it's not taxable. And so you can actually put in more money and still get more back in your paycheck, in your take-home pay. You got to sit down and kind of work through the math and get somebody to help you if you need it. Mm-hmm. Go to your HR department and talk to them. But you can afford to donate more than you're giving right now. Not donate, but giving to yourself. Yeah. Paying yourself first.
Yeah, I like the paying yourself better than donating to yourself.
Well, you know, whatever works for you. Proverbs 21:5 tells us that steady plotting brings prosperity.
So the best way to build a retirement savings is to start early and keep saving on a regular basis, right?
Absolutely.
All right, what's the next thing about how you can fool yourself?
Well, I just have to make this investment. It's too good to be true. Steve, you got to do this too.
So it's one of those, if it's too good to be true...
It's probably too good to be true.
But you're right, John. So many people fall into that trap.
Yes.
Especially when the hottest stock and they're talking about it on TV and radio. Yep. It felt like, yeah, I got to jump into it now rather than let's wait and see a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks to see what happens.
Yeah, you can't chase aggressive short-term fixes. And it's just, you know, you're gonna face problems. Yes, you might get a higher rate of return with increased risk, but what does that increased risk mean? It means you've got a chance, a really good chance, of losing all of that. And then where are you going to be? It's just not a good thing. You know, instant profits by day trading or house flipping, most of the time, prove themselves too good to be true. You have to be really skilled. Some people can make it happen, but that's not the majority, and it's probably not you.
You know, I remember when I worked, there was a guy that worked with me that quit to do day trading because he had done it for a couple of months on the side and was doing really well. So he quit to do day trading, and that was going to be his retirement money, and he, you know, he was just all in. And a year later, he was back at work. He lost it all.
Really?
Yep. He just made a bad move, and there it went, right out the window.
The other thing you want to do is you make sure you have a good, and I stress, good emergency fund so that when stuff happens, and I guarantee you, stuff will happen, you've got money to backfill, to cover whatever happened so that you don't have to go into debt to take care of it. Start with $1,000, then go to 1 month's income, and then build it to 3 months' income. And then down the road, I know you're not going to do it this year, but at some point in the next 2 or 3 years, build it up to 6 months' income. If that happens, we were talking to a guy last night. He's in one of our classes, and he lost his job for a whole year, 12 months. He had to spend everything.
So we want to make sure that you don't jump into something just because it's too good to be true, because there's always risks with any investment. And you have a verse from 1 Timothy, don't you?
1 Timothy 6:9, those who want to get rich fall into temptation and are caught in the trap of many foolish and harmful desires, which pull them down to ruin and destruction.
That sounds
awful. That sounds nasty. You don't want that to happen.
So here's another, while we were talking about retirement funds, here's another way people fool themselves. They say they want to buy something and they're going to take money out of their retirement fund and pay it back later. That's a bad idea, right?
Well, first of all, you can take money out of your 401k or your IRA. I understand that. But if you take it out of your IRA... you're going to pay a penalty
if you're not
over 59 and a half years old. You can borrow from your 401k at work as long as you pay it back. If you don't pay it back, let's say you leave because you got a better job someplace, mm-hmm. you're going to have to pay it back or pay the taxes plus the penalty because you took that money out.
And when you say pay it back, that's not like $20 a month. It's like pay back the $10,000 at one time.
Well, however much, yeah, if you leave, yes, yeah. you got to pay it back lump sum.
That's a big chunk of change.
That's a big balloon.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So cashing out your retirement funds early can result in steep penalties, and it's eating into your hard-earned savings. It's just, it's not a good thing to do. And here's somebody who's speaking from experience, because we did that. And
you knew there were penalties.
Oh, I knew. But the penalty, I still needed the money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I just think how much money I would have gained if I just left that money there.
So there were no other options for you?
Nope.
That was it? Wow.
Nope. We were at the bottom of the barrel at that point in time. Here's another way people lie to themselves. They say we deserve to live in a house that's just a little bit more than we can really afford. And we've done this, and it isn't pretty, because if you're spending too much money on your housing costs, you're never going to have enough in the other categories to take care of all your needs.
Yeah, we recommend that your housing costs should add up to no more than a total of 30 to 40% of your spendable income, and the mortgage can only be half of that amount. So if your total housing is 40%, your mortgage should only be 20%. So think of it this way. If you take home $2,000 a month and spend half of that on housing, then you only have $1,000 left to survive. That works out to be $33 a day for everything: food, gas, clothing, insurance, entertainment. Wow. Do not conform yourselves to the standards of this world, but let God transform you. That's out of Romans.
And the worst thing people can do to fool themselves is to say they don't have enough money to donate to the church. And it's really easy to convince yourself that you don't make enough to be generous, or that you need more money than the church does, or that you don't agree with the way the pastor's spending. And there's a bunch of ways you can justify not giving. But the act of giving comes from what you have, not from what you think you need in order to be generous.
So Acts 20:35 tells us that it's more blessed to give than to receive. Remember, money is just a tool, and yet we give it so much more importance than it deserves. We think money is going to give us happiness, contentment, peace, and the more money we have, the better off we're going to be. But if you aren't happy with what you have, you will never be happy when you get what you think you want.
Ain't that the truth? If you would like to share this show with a friend or family member, in fact, any of our shows, they are available online at compasscatholic.org. Just scroll down to the homepage and click on podcast. And before we leave you today, let's see if we can answer some of the email that we received this week. John and Evelyn: except for our mortgage, my husband and I are debt-free. We will be 59 and a half in December. We are considering cashing in an IRA to pay off the mortgage. We will still have his retirement to live on. Is this a responsible idea?
Well, the good news is that at 59 and a half, you don't get hit with that 10% penalty for going into your IRA and doing what they call an early withdrawal. So the things that you've got to consider is how much money are you actually going to have as retirement income, and is it sufficient to meet all of the expenses that you've identified with your budget? Because I know you've got a budget. At least you better have one. If your retirement is sufficient, then it's okay to use an IRA for your mortgage payment. Or you could just kind of save it and maybe pay it off over the next 5 years. And don't take that whole lump sum of the IRA, but take it partially each of the next 5 years and have it paid off by the time you fully retire.
Well, isn't there a tax hit to the IRA, depending on how much you're withdrawing and how much your tax percentage is?
Well, you have to pay taxes on it, but if you're over 59 and a half, there's no penalties.
Okay. But you still might want to consider what your total income is for that year and how much that IRA, if you're withdrawing a huge amount, how much that will impact your taxes.
Yes, because it's added to your normal income.
And we have time for one more. John and Evelyn, we're trying to plan ahead and budget for the kids' summer camp. And I'm wondering, is summer camp tax deductible as child care?
Summer camp may qualify for a tax credit. And parents who work or are looking to work and use child care for the kids under 13 years of age can find that child care expenses in an approved center can be deductible, but expenses for overnight camps typically don't qualify.
And you can find out more about that just by Googling IRS 503, which takes you to a site called Child and Dependent Care Expenses. So that'll tell you it's legally tax deductible.
Yeah, and whether it is or not.
John and Evelyn, thank you so much. Now, if you have a question of financial nature, please send your questions to askask@compasscatholic.org. That email address again is askask@compasscatholic.org. And if we use your question on the air, we'll send you a copy of the book, Your Money Counts. This book is a biblical guide to earning, saving, spending, investing, getting out of debt, and it's absolutely free. Again, the email address is ask@compasscatholic.org. For John and Evelyn Bean, I want to thank you so much for listening and reminding you that we post a brand new podcast every Wednesday morning. Simply go to compasscatholic.org. This is Manage Your Money God's Way, and our ministry is Compass Catholic.